You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Leave your deepest, darkest secret after the tone.
Hi, Flora. My name's Lisa, and I've Googled my question like 90 different ways and can't find an answer. It's an embarrassing question, but my desire to understand what's happening is stronger than my embarrassment. So I get this weird pain wave sensation in my bucket area. If I see something painful or disgusting, like on TV or happen to somebody, gives me this feeling, and it's just bizarre. Doesn't seem to happen to my husband. At least he's not admitting to it if it does. And I'm just wondering if I'm the only weirdo that this happens to. I feel like there's got to be an explanation for it. So, yeah, there it is. I hope we're in the trust tree. Anyway, thanks.
Hello?
Hey, Lisa, it's Flora from ELT.
Hey, Flora.
First thing, I want you to know that I am calling from the trust tree where I'm perched right now.
Oh, God.
So I think for us to help you, I'm going to need to know a little bit more about your situation. You said in your message you get a sensation in your bucket area. What is a bucket area?
Okay, so the bucket area is just your rear, your butt.
Like top of the, like below the waist, above like the top of the thighs.
Like the legit cheek area.
The cheeks.
Yes, if you're standing up, yeah, you can like cup the butt.
Okay, the part that gets cupped. Okay.
Yes, that part.
Where did that terminology come from, the bucket terminology?
I mean, for sure my mom and grandma, that's what they would always say when we were kids. So they, like, if they're being bad or whatever, they would say, I'm going to smack your bucket. And we knew that you're going to get a swat, you know? And I think I'm trying to spread it.
Oh.
You know, trying to get people to understand.
Well, we'll be bucket boosters on this podcast.
Yes, bucket boosters. I love it.
What triggers this bucket feeling?
Oh, it's when I see something painful, or it's something, when I see somebody getting hurt. It's like if I'm watching a movie or like a TV program, and if I see injury, like people skateboarding off of like a roof, and then, you know, they fall and slam into the cement, that's when it'll happen. And you know what I mean? That, because like you don't see it coming, like you're leading you down the path and you're like, I didn't know a finger was getting chopped off, like one of those kind of things. Do you know what I'm saying? It like sneaks up on you.
Does it have to be people, or does it extend to
any living being? It can be animals too, for sure. It's like, I feel like sometimes it's kind of like sympathy pain, maybe a little bit.
And what exactly are you feeling?
So when it happens, it's just like this initially almost like a shock, like intense initially, and then it like goes out to a dull ache. It's so weird, I know.
What do you should we come up with a name for this condition? Tingle tush. Bristle bottom.
Oh.
Downstairs shivers.
Okay.
Crack-a-lackinitis. Derriere aware.
Oh my word.
Do you have a name for this condition?
No, I don't. You want to know why I don't? I don't, because I don't talk about it. My husband's the first person I've ever told. I felt like I was in the trust tree again, and he looked at me like I was nuts. Like, no, he didn't get it. He didn't know what I was talking about. So then I just fell dormant on talking about it with anyone until I called you guys.
So you told your husband, and then?
And then, yeah, I left it on a voicemail with complete strangers. And for over a year now, I've been contemplating, should I call, should I call, should I call? And I finally broke down. I'm like, I just need to know. It's literally, I'm not being funny. This is like literally my best kept secret. You know, like that thing where you're like, nobody needs to know this.
Why?
Because it's embarrassing, isn't it? Like, wouldn't you be embarrassed if it was you? Would you go around advertising this to people?
I have a surprise for you.
No, you do not. What? What? Does this happen to you?
Something very similar, yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you got to tell me.
For me, it's less of burning butt syndrome and more like a prickling in my upper legs.
That is so close.
It feels very close. I mean, it's a little bit below what I'd call my cupping area.
That is, I'm just going to say it's the same. You just made my day. I got to look. I don't even know what the date is, but I'm going to write this down.
Anyway, we're definitely in the trust tree.
Yeah. Maybe like on the same branch even. Oh, this makes me so happy.
So
see, this was destined for me to call. This is destiny.
What do you want to know?
Well, I would love to know. Well, first of all, my first thing was, does this happen to anyone else? So you've kind of answered that. I mean, is there any purpose behind this? Is it some like primitive security system? I feel like I would like to know if there's a reason behind it. Like, why would our body do this?
Okay, well, I think I have what I need to start investigating to get to the bottom of your bottom question.
Oh, my.
So let me make some calls, and I'll call you back when we have some answers.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi.
So we started calling researchers all over the world.
Based in Singapore now.
UK, Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
I'm based in Melbourne, but I had a couple of trips up to Sydney last week.
We talked to neuroscientists, physiologists, psychologists. We talked to people who study disgust. We talked to people who study empathy. But the booty calls were not panning out. Not a lot of recognition.
I haven't heard about that.
Is it painful? I have not heard about this. I'm sorry.
We got to the bottom of our bucket list. And then?
So there's a phenomenon that was recently researched a lot and is now a new research line, actually, that perfectly fits this.
We got a tip. And that led us to a scientist who had answers about Lisa's condition.
Totally, yeah. I mean, she's not alone.
Lisa's butt has befuddled her for decades. It's time to solve the riddle of her addled saddle. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Flora.
Lisa, buckle up that bucket. We have some answers.
Okay.
Our guide today is Stuart Derbyshire.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello. My Siri voice is British, too.
I think Stuart can help with your literally burning question.
Oh, boy.
Because he cracked the butt pain world wide open. He's a pain researcher, and mysterious pain is one of his lifelong passions. He has been into it since he was a kid.
You know, what really happened was I was 10 years old, and my school teacher played a nasty trick on us. He sent three of us outside, and I think he picked on, you know, the good kids. I was one of the studious kids. And then one of the bad kids came out and said, look, I don't want to, you know, stay out too long, but I'm just pretending I'm going to the toilet. But when Mr. Tennant comes out, he's going to take you back in the classroom and he's going to plunge your hand into hot water. And then he just walked away. Next thing I saw was Mr. Tennant coming out the staff room with the kettle. And then he led each of us in one by one and blindfolded us and plunged our hands into what was tepid water. And I screamed. And the class erupted in total chaos and hysteria and laughter because they all knew, of course, that it was just tepid water. But all three of us screamed. And I swear that when my hand went in, it was painful.
It sounds like your grade school teacher had a few too many and then devised that experiment.
I don't know. I don't know what got into him to do that.
I don't think they'd be able to get away with that now.
Totally agree. And besides giving him something to discuss in therapy, it also gave Stuart a career path.
That just stuck with me. for a long time. And I eventually, here I am trying to figure out how that happens.
Stuart has basically dedicated his career to figuring out why people feel pain when nothing obviously painful is happening to them.
There are lots of patients. They're not injured. They're not diseased. But it hurts. And we basically are trying to understand why they hurt.
And in the course of his research into this question, he came across a few stories in the scientific literature that caught his eye. Reports of people with chronic pain who said they felt pain when they saw somebody else in pain, like amputees who got an ache in their phantom limb when they saw someone else get hurt, or back pain patients who felt a stab in the back when they saw someone do a strenuous lift.
So we started wondering, well, maybe there are people without chronic pain who perhaps also have something like this.
So he designed an experiment to find out.
We got some pictures of people being kicked in the face, falling off their bike, a dive that went horribly wrong and the diver hit the diving board. And we showed them to people. And the simple experiment to start with, just do you feel pain when you look at this picture?
Not like a knowing wince or a fleeting cringe.
No, a cringe wouldn't qualify. It's not just an uneasiness. It's a definite bodily, physical experience, a ache, a shoot.
It had to be pain somewhere on your body. So he ran the experiment on people who don't have chronic pain, and he couldn't believe the results.
I was like, no way. That's way too high.
Lisa, there are other people like you and me. Huh. You want to guess what percentage of people reported physical pain when they saw a stranger take a kick to the face?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll give it a guess. Let's say 20%.
Even higher. 30%. One in three people feel your pain of feeling pain when they see other people feel pain. I mean, I thought it was 30% was really high.
Yes, I feel like it is too. Or maybe some of them were fibbing and were like, yeah, I get that.
Actually, Stuart wondered about that too. So he decided to look at their brains. Did their brains show any sign that they were actually feeling pain?
So we put people in the scanner with the expectation that if they really are feeling the pain, then they ought to activate those areas that we know to be involved in pain. And they did.
Their brain activity resembled the brain activity you'd see in someone getting physically hurt.
That's amazing. I'm elated that it's not just you and I. Now I can say one third of people this happens to. I just, for so long, have been like, I'm the only one who's, you know, knows about this or has this going on. And he did a whole entire study on it. I think that's what blows my mind. When did he do the study?
Super recently, mid-2000s.
Sheesh. So yeah, that's like, come on, people. What have we been waiting for? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we've researched stupid stuff like, you know, how to make new car scented freshener, air fresheners, whatever. Right. Like, why hasn't anybody thought about diving into this more? I mean, it truly goes along with I feel your pain.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And since Stuart did this experiment, scientists have come up with names for this condition, and they capture that exact idea.
Several different names have been put forward. So empathic pain, vicarious pain, sympathetic pain, mirror pain. I think the one that's sticking is the vicarious pain.
Vicarious, mm-hmm. It's perfect. I bet now he probably does not have numbers on, okay, it happens in your arm, it happens in your foot, or it's just a general feeling.
No. So he and the other handful of researchers who study this don't have exact percentages for each body part. But after running tests on hundreds of people, Stuart does have some anecdotal data, and he said, you're not alone in the butt zone.
Yes! Okay, so let me have it.
Yeah, the butt is a pretty common place where it originates and sticks.
Yes!
And here's the cherry on the top of the sundae. You know who also falls into this bucket?
Is it our man, Stuart?
So for me, it's the backside. You know, it's always there. And, you know, I will clench.
I love it. He clenches. I do too. I left that out. That was the small tidbit that I kept to myself. I clench too.
We got to get a bigger trust tree.
Yeah, the tree is widening.
Yes. So other people who get vicarious pain say it comes as a sort of generalized feeling of pain.
Okay.
And some people feel pain where they see pain.
So in the diver who hits the diving board with a forehead, the person will report that they feel a pain in their forehead.
That makes more sense. If you see someone's head get hurt, then and you feel the sensation in your head, that makes perfect sense to me. The fanny does not.
Okay, so what I want to do next is a little experiment. If you are listening right now and you're like, I think I'm a vicarious pain feeler, but you're not exactly sure where it hits you, this is for you. I asked Stuart if he could come up with a story that would trigger vicarious pain in anyone listening to this show.
Oh, nice.
And he agreed.
Okay, well, let's try this then. So picture yourself.
And we're going to hear that story
at a beach. And
it's after the break.
A miserable day. It's a little bit wet.
Okay, back to our experiment. Gird your buckets.
Okay, well, let's try this then. So picture yourself at a beach. And it's kind of a miserable day. It's a little bit wet and rainy. And there are some large rocks on this beach. And you can climb up them. So because you can't sit and enjoy the sun, you decide to climb up on these rocks. These rocks are sharp. They're jagged edges, and you've got to be kind of careful. And you're climbing up the first one, and you realize that you can jump from one rock to another. So you jump. You're cautious at first because, well, these are big, jagged rocks with sharp edges, and it's salty because you're by the sea. And you know if you fall and cut yourself, it's going to be pretty painful. But as you jump from rock to rock, you're starting to feel yourself get more confident. And now you're going to take a jump that's just too far. And as you're approaching that big rock, you realize that you're not going to land with your feet. You're going to land smack into your leg and...
I could feel my pulse. Yeah, he did pretty good.
Did it work?
Yes. Yes, I was clenched, in Stuart's words.
I'm really curious if this will happen to our listeners.
Oh, me too. Ooh, maybe they'll call in and tell us.
What should we tell them to do something, like to call in or to go to Twitter or Instagram at ELT Show and let us know?
Oh, absolutely.
# BooBooBottom. And we can create a support group.
You could be our president.
I think you could be our president.
Oh, can I be the queen instead?
Sure. Okay, what questions do you still have about your pounding caboose? Oh.
Well, did Stuart, like, say there was any benefit? Did this serve a purpose? Why does this happen? It can't just be arbitrary.
Yeah, he has a theory.
The way I think about this, that if people around you are getting injured, then that's a bad thing. And it behooves you probably to get the hell out of there. So there's some evolutionary push here to pay attention to that kind of thing and move away. It's an evolutionary kick up the bum, if you wish.
Get all your tiddly bits and let's get out of here. That's what it sounds like, because things are getting bad. Clench and roll.
Clench and roll.
Yeah.
The tricky part is that evolutionary theories sound cool, but they're very hard to prove. So there's also this explanation.
The other possibility, which is less fun, is that it's just a misfiring. So you have this system that fires in response to actual physical noxious stimuli. And it, for some people, it also gets overexcited and accidentally fires in response to an observation of injury.
You're broken, basically.
Well, broken's harsh. You know, you're just a little bit more sensitive than the average bear. You know, when we first started doing this, we had no idea what we're getting into, and we sort of tagged on a question at the end of the study just for interest. Like, well, how do you live with this? I mean, what do you do if you go and see a horror movie? And they would laugh. Like, horror movie? You think I go and see horror movies? Are you crazy?
No, absolutely not. I don't even like the commercials for them. I couldn't even watch, oh my gosh, the zombie show that everybody loves. The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
People are getting bashed. Yeah, no, uh-uh. Nope.
I'm with you. I can't even stand the sound effects. Even though I know they're fake, like I know someone's like pounding, you know, a steak somewhere.
Jello or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I still just cannot.
Disgusting.
So aside from missing out on Saw 1, 2, 3, and 4, I wanted to know what it means if you feel other people's pain. Are you more empathetic than the median bear?
Yeah, I think it's got to be tied somehow.
Stuart thought that too.
That was the first thing we thought was that, well, clearly these people are going to be more empathic.
So to test that, he gave his vicarious pain group a questionnaire. The more you say yes to, the higher you score on the empathy scale.
We asked them things like, when you're at a party and you see somebody standing alone, do you feel bad for them and feel like you should go over and talk to them? Those kinds of questions.
When you see someone at a party standing alone, what do?
Oh, it depends on who it is. That's not very empathetic, is it?
Well, that fits with the data. Stuart found vicarious pain feelers are not more empathetic. And other studies backside this up. People who feel other people's pain aren't any better at getting inside the mind of someone else.
Okay.
Let me put it on the bear scale for you.
They're just as empathic as your average bear.
In other words, vicarious pain feelers like you and me, Lisa, are just as shitty as everyone else. So how are you feeling?
I feel great. I don't have to go around ashamed anymore.
No.
I'll be like now I'm excited to tell people, "Hey, guess what?"
Actually, it's kind of cool. I mean, who feels physically stuff that they're seeing in the way that Lisa does? Not everybody. So take some joy from it and turn it into your kind of conversation piece.
We can talk about this at support group.
Yes.
What should we name it, by the way? Whiny Heinies?
Yeah, it's got a nice ring.
Tender Enders? Touchy-feely tushies.
Touchy. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Severe disbumfort. Chapped cheeks?
Chapped cheeks. So far, that's my favorite.
Chapped cheeks.
That one really sticks out. It's easy. It's to the point. And we could, you know, are you going to CC tonight? Going to C squared?
I'm now imagining a door shaped like a butt.
I love it. Is it covered or is it just open?
You pass through the cheeks like a saloon door.
And we could have like a butt shake instead of a handshake.
You just like thump butts.
Yeah. Or you could just give a sassy little ha with your butt to the side. And nobody will know what that means but the CC members.
That's why you're our queen, Lisa. Because you're the one with the big ideas.
I thought you were going to say big butt.
The music's ending. What is our sign off?
May your cheeks be ever free. I don't know.
Yeah. That sounds natural. May your cheeks be ever free.
Yours as well, Flora.
We'd love for you to join Chap Cheeks, hashtag BooBooBottom on Instagram or Twitter at ELT Show. And if you have a burning question you cannot get to the BooBoo Bottom of, give us a call, 833-RING-ELT.
This episode of Every Little Thing was produced by Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, John Moses, and Amanda Rubinowitz. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Sound design by Matt Bowles. scored by Dara Hirsch, mixed by Dara Hirsch and Enoch Kim. Special thanks to Jamie Ward, Natalie Bowling, Elena Hartman, and Melita Jamara. Every Little Thing is a Spotify original podcast. My biscuits are burning. #BooBooBottom. Goodbye.